Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. So we got to the last two lines of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara is still continuing to go through the 18 Gezeiros. So we're going to finish that off today, today's daf. So the Gemara says, V'idach Mahi, what's another one of the Gezeiros that has not already been mentioned? Excuse me, so the Gemara says, Idach Mahi, Ditzan, the Mishnah tells us, Masechas Olos, Kol Metaltalin Mivin Es Atuma, Be'ove Hamardeya. So all metalton, if a person is carrying a movable object, it's able to bring, create an ohel. So let's say you have this mardeya, which is a type of a yoke of some sort, where you'd be able to guide the cattle through the field. So let's say a person, a farmer, is holding that mardeya over his shoulders, and one end is hovering over a mace, and the other end is hovering over some type of kalim. So the din is that kol metaltalin mivin es atuma, all movable objects are able to transfer tuma from one side of the mace of the ohel to the other side, as long as it's be'ove hamardeya, as long as it's the thickness of a mardeya, which is less than a tevach, which is only a shlish of a tevach, which is not very, very wide. That's the din of the Mishnah. So in response to this, Amar Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, going on to Daf Yizai now, he says, Akapach es bonai, I'm going to cut off my children, shezu halacha mikupachas, because this is an incorrect halacha. He made some form of shua where he didn't think this was correct. So he says, Sheshama hashemeya vita. The person who heard this halacha misheard, and he made a mistake. What was the din? Ha'ikar over umardeu al ksefo. You have a farmer, and the farmer is passing through the field, and he has his mardeo, this some type of a yoke, or I don't know exactly to define this in English, that you have it on the shoulders. Ve'ihil tzido achas al hakever, and one end of it is now being ma'il, this is an ohel on top of a kever. So the din is that the person himself is tameh. Timu oso mishum kalim hamal malmes. It's metame him, it's metame it. It's metame the mardeya because it's ma'al alames. So what's going on? Look at Rashi to explain. Rashi says two lines down from the top. Shasham hashemeya. Kishenishala hashela aide ma'isa bebeis medrash. When this question was raised in the Beis Medrash about a farmer who was carrying this mardeya on his shoulders and it was ma'ahil on top of a kever, the shama shetimeu, a person heard, oh, the guy paskin, the rabbanim paskin, this is tameh. The person who heard the psak that's tamei wasn't sure what he had heard, or he thought he heard something that was wrong. They said the mardeya itself is tamei, mishum kalim hamayil alhames. Something itself that serves as an ohel, that item itself, that ohel, becomes tamei. Shekli atmo hamayil tamei becholshu. That which serves as an ohel over mace, that ohel itself becomes tameh regardless of the size of that ohel. So the mardeh itself was tameh, that was the psak. The lo ba'in and poseach tefach el l'shavya ohel lavi tuma tachas rosho asheni lavi tuma al ha'acherim. The ohel itself doesn't need to be a tefach to become tameh. It only needs to become a tefach, it only needs to be a tefach in order to transfer tuma to another part of the ohel. But it itself, the ohel itself, is tamei even if it's a small shear. The tumeu liikar tumas erev. And now, after establishing that the mardeya is tamei, then they were matamei the farmer himself tumas erev. Just for one day, he was tamei. Mishum shenaga ba'osa kli shu'ava tuma v'zu shenaga barisham. Because the way it works is the ohel itself, the mardeya, was tamei 7 days, but now the person, but that ohel was a rishon. Because it wasn't tameh itself, it wasn't mace itself. The mace was the kever. The mace now, through ohel, touched the ohel, touched the mardeya. Now the mardeya becomes a avatuma. And now the person who touches the avatuma becomes a rishon. The person's a rishon. So the rishon, the din is, he's only tumas erev. He's only tameh for one day. Vashemeh, the one who heard this psak, ta lomar, he made a mistake in saying, shaso le'ikar avatuma. He thought that the farmer became an avatuma, the tameh sheva, to make the ikar 7 days tameh, l'ton hazayah, but that was the mistake. So that's how Rabbi Tarfon says. So back inside the Gemara, now the Mishnah continues to explain. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, ani asakin shi'udivre chachamim kayamim. I'm going to fix it so that everyone will understand that the chachamim were correct. There was no mistake originally. What does that mean? Sheyehei kol metalten mivin es atuma al haadam shenose osan be'ovei hamardeya. The din is midrabanan. Chacham instituted that the ohel itself, even though the mardeya was less than a tefach, midrabanan, it had the ability to transmit tumah to the person himself carrying it. And that's true. The farmer was tameh for 7 days, like the initial understanding. That tumah is only dirabanan, but it's still tameh 7 days. And the Rebbe Kiva says further, val atzman, the mardei itself, the ohel itself, that's tameh b'chol shehen, on a derice level, it's tameh for 7 days. Val shar eid adam v'kelim, and on other people and other kelim that are holding it, they're not touching it. B'poseach tafach are only tameh mideraisa, if the ohel itself is a tafach wide. The Amar Rebbe Yane says, mardeya sh'amru, the mardeya that we said, the person who's carrying it, he's tameh she'enove abav yu tafach v'yishba keifo tafach. So they said that's all mideraisa, but with midrabanan, they said a person who carries the mardeya, that person carrying it should be tameh midrabanan 7 days. Why? Because even though the mardeya itself is less than a tefach, they were concerned if you say that which is less than a tefach is only mitame a person 1 day, you would think even if the mardeya is a tefach wide, it would also only be mitame a person 1 day. So therefore, they're gazru al hekefo mishum avya. There are gazru if there's a hekef and the thickness and the length. So if the length is a tefach, even though the width isn't a tefach, there are goes there that we should be mitameh 7 days for tumas ohel midirbanam, lest the ovio, the thickness, is also tefach, whereby midiraisa would be tameh 7 days. A little bit tricky here. Either way, we see from all this that Rebbe Kiva explains that the ikar, the farmer, is tameh 7 days midirbanam. This is one of the gzeiras, even though, again, the mardeya, the ohel itself, everyone agrees the ohel itself is tameh 7 days because it's an ohel, even though it's less than a tefach. And even though midiraisa, if it's less than a tefach, it does not have the ability to make the farmer tameh 7 days, but midirabanan, they made the farmer 7 days, lest the person come to say the same din is true, even when the mardeya is a tefach wide. So that was the gzera. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Tarfon, damar akapach es banai shalach azu mekupachas, he thought this whole thing was incorrect. The farmer is only tameh 1 day midiraisa, there was no gzera. So according to him, batzuluhu, he's missing one of the gzeras of the 18. How does he fill it in? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak af benos kusim nidos marisasan bo bayom gazu. He felt that the din that a kusi, an infant, a 1 day old girl kusi, she has a din of a nida the day she's born midirabanam. That gzera was instituted this day as well, according to Rabbi Tarfon. So he's able to replace the one he took out. So the Gemara then says, "Idach svirle kurebi meir." The Gemara says that the one above who says that one above who said that we don't count this, we don't count the nox kusum as one of the gzeros. So they include Rabbi Meir Shita from yesterday's daf that felt that if he left a pail shocheach, he left the pail and it caught all the mei gishamim, that mei gishamim is considered maim sulim, maim shuvim. That would be the 18th one according to this opinion. Okay, so we still haven't completed the list yet of 18. So Gemara says, V'idach, what's another one of the 18 gezeiros? And the Gemara says, Habotzer lagas. A person, when he's busy pressing, that's a wine press, he's pressing the wine, and when you press the wine, so a lot of the wine goes down, and so the din is, that wine that's there, the question becomes, Shamai Omer Huchsher, Hil Omer Lo Huchsher. The wine that's pressed at that very moment, so we said that in order for food to become tameh, that food has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids, one of the shiva mashkim, one of them being wine, yayin. So during the wine press, do we assume that wine that's being squeezed out, is that considered huchsh, is that considered biratan? You have to have awareness. The owner must have awareness and liking to the liquid coming out. Is that considered huchsh? Does it machshir the anavim, the grapes, to now be susceptible to becoming tameh? So Shammai felt huchsher, and Hilla Omer lo huchsher, it's not huchsher. That's a machlok, because it comes up a few places in Shas. So the Gemara explains, Omer lo Hilla le Shammai, Hilla says to Shammai, mipnei ma botzim betara. So what's the reason why that a person, when they're doing a wine press, they have to use all kelim tohrim? It's in order that they don't become tameh. Because since, aren't you concerned that the liquid that comes out is machshir? And if it's machshir, if it touches a keli that's tameh, it's going to mitameh the grapes. So if you assume that's true by the wine, that mipnei ma botzim betara, ve'ein moskim betara, when it comes to the olive press, however, you're not makbid to use kelim tamim. You allow people using kelim tamim. What's the difference of a wine press versus an olive press? If it's really true that the wine is hukshir, so shouldn't the olive oil be hukshir as well? So Amarlo, Shammai's response back is, im tikniteni, if you're going to attack me on this point, gozrini tamu af ala masika. I'm going to gozer by olive oil as well, that they have to use kelim tamim. So don't get me started here. So he doesn't really explain as far while he's mechalik here, but either way, that was an attack. And now that led to that Natsu Chereb Beis Medrash, that moment they put a sword in the Beis Medrash, and Amru HaNichnas, Yikanes, Hayotze, Yalyetze, they said anyone who's here can't leave, anyone who's outside can't come in, the doors are locked. And Ve'osa Yom, that day, Hayahilil Kofef V'Yoshev Lufnei Shammai, Hillel was sitting in front of Shammai like a regular Talmud, even though they were contemporaries and equals. Ve'egel was a difficult time, as it was the time of the Egel. Rav Yashar wants to know what's the connection to the Egel here. He said, just like Aaron in the times of the Egel, Aaron HaKohen was like a Talmud in front of the Eirav. He was mamish, so humble, and he couldn't respond. He was a Talmud. So to Hillel took a very backseat approach here in this whole episode. And that day, the Gazar Shammai v'Hillel, they were gozer, that all the grapes that squeeze out eggs, the grapes are now huchshel tuma based on this conversation, and v'lo kiblu minayu, it wasn't accepted from Shammai and Hillel. They also tamidayu, but the talmidim of Shammai v'Hillel gazer the kiblu minayu. But then afterwards, it was accepted after the talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, this particular gzera. So my time, what was the reason? Why were they gozer that the grapes are being pressed? That the wine is now huchshir. It's huchshir the grapes to become mekabel tuma. So don't the grapes go to the ibud, and you don't really care for the grapes here. It's not it's going to waste. That at least the liquid rather. So Gemara says Amar Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina Gezeira Shema Yivtzirenu Bekupos Tameos. The concern was here is in by this wine press. Apparently, a lot of the wine that's being squeezed out was going to ibud, was going to waste. And when it's going to waste, that means you don't really care much about the wine. Now, the concern was maybe they're going to start squeezing it into boxes where they want to keep the wine and use the wine, and that would certainly be huchshir because you want the wine in that case. This wine press, I'm not really sure why they're squeezing out to go to ibud, but for whatever reason, they're squeezing out ibud. It's going to waste. But if they, so that's fine, Mikra didn't. It's not huchshir, because you don't want the wine. But they might say, oh, well, just like by the wine press, the wine isn't machshir the grapes. Maybe in a different instance where I'm squeezing it to catch them, the kupos tomatoes in tamei boxes, maybe there the mashke will, since I do want it, it won't be libud, and it will be machshir. And as to not confuse the two different cases, there it goes there anytime you're in a wine press, the wine is machshir lutum. So Gemara says, "Hanich l'man damer." This all makes sense if you actually hold it's a tosefta. Kli tamei choshev mashkin. If a person catches liquid in a kli that's tamei, that is still able to make the liquids mashkil tuma, hichshil tuma, shaper. So then this makes sense. But el l'man damer, the one who holds ain kli tamei choshev mashkin. If you try to catch liquid, you try to catch wine in a kli that's already tamei. The tamei kli did not have the ability to make the liquid into a huchshil tuma, ma'ik lememer. So then, what's the gzeira here? So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the gzeira is." Ella amar ziri amar Rabbi Chanina gzeira shema yivtrenu bekupos muzufafos. The question is, you might come to catch the wine in boxes that were lined in zephis and some type of tar, which means you want to hold on and retain the wine there. In that case, certainly you don't want the wine to go liibud. You don't want to get to go to garbage. And therefore, in that instance, it certainly will be hochshel tuma. And therefore, there goes in all cases of a wine press that the wine should be hochshel l'tuma. Rav Amar says differently. Rav says, no, I'll tell you why. You know why there goes there by boats or an oven, by wine presses? Mishum hanoshchos. What's a noshchos? So noshchos are when the clusters of grapes are touching each other, they're stuck to each other, they're biting each other, if you will. That's lashon noshchos. And a person is busy separating the clusters from each other, and then inevitably, wine is going to be squeezed out as you're separating the two clusters from each other. And when you're using your yadayim, when you're using your hands directly to squeeze out grapes, even though that may not be your intention, so that would be considered that wine certainly would be hochshir. So therefore, since in the case of noshchos, that wine is definitely hochshir, there goes there in all cases of boter novim in order to say the wine is hochshir. And then the Gemara says one other reason. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua Pamim Shadam Holech LeKarmel Leida Im Higiu Hanavim LeBetzira Alo. People would oftentimes walk through their vineyards to see whether or not the grapes are fully ripe or not, whether it's time to start collecting them. V'notel eshkol anavim l'sochto. They take out a cluster of grapes and squeeze it to check how juicy the grapes are, to just inspect whether or not they're fully ripe. U'mezalif agave anavim. And that wine is going to drip on other grapes that's attached to. U'b'shas b'tzir adayin mashke tofech. And now when it comes to collecting all the grapes, that wine is still there from when you squeezed it the other day, aleim, and that wine would be considered huchshir because you wanted to test the wine. And therefore, there goes there in all types of wine that came out during the process of collecting grapes and squeezing the grapes. They said it's all going to be huchshir l'tumah. Gemara now says, last two words on Amr Alf here, v'idach Amar. We still haven't gotten to the 18 gzeres. We're still missing a couple. Idach, what's another one? So Amr Tavi Rishba. He says, Amr Shmuel, af gidule chuma kachuma babayom gazer. So Tavi Rishba, just an interesting name. His name is Tavi. And it's called Rishba, Rashi points out here, pores nishban latudchayv of. He was a hunter. He would catch wild animals and birds. So it happens to be an interesting question that's brought down to Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara, the Halacha on Shabbos, talking about you can't capture animals on Shabbos. It's a Halacha of Tzad. Ramah says, Af b'chol, even during the week you can't hunt, because that's considered Moshev Leitzim. There's a Nod Behuda, well-known Tshuva Nod Behuda in Yerdeya Tinyana Simen Yud, where he addressed the question whether or not you're allowed to be a hunter. And he says that the two Yisurim possibly a person has to entertain is, number one, is it Baal Tashkets, you're just killing animals for no reason, and number two, is it Tsar Balei Chaim. And he says that neither one is really relevant, because Tsar Balei Chaim is only true when the animal's alive and suffering. Here, you kill the animal when it comes to hunting, so there is no Isur Tsar Balei Chaim. This is what I spoke about for the Aldaf today. And then the other issue of Baal Tashkets, it's only Baal Tashkets if you do something for no purpose. But seemingly, when it comes to hunting, you're gaining something. It could be you're just getting a trophy. It could be you're going to be using the leather. There is some hana, possibly. If there's no hana, you're not gaining any benefit, so then it would be Baal Tashkets. But if there's some hana, even if it's just from the leather, even if it's just from the horns, then that would not be considered a violation of Baal Tashkets. But he does say that perhaps there is an issue of a sakana. And when a person has to go to the safaris or to the deserts or to the forests, it's a place of danger. To put a person's self in danger, that would certainly be a incredible sakana. Number two is, he says, it's not a Yiddish sport. He says, who did this in history? Nimrod and Esav. These are not people we look up to as role models, and therefore we frowned upon those who were hunters. So the question becomes, how was Tavi able to be a Rishba? How was he able to be a hunter? And the answer is, although Nod Behuda doesn't ask this question, at the end of the Tshuva he says, if it's for Parnasa purposes, then a person's allowed to. Seemingly, by the very fact that his name was Tavi Rishba, this is what he did professionally, he was able to make a Parnasa out of this, and therefore he was allowed to do this. So back inside, so what was the gzera he made? So Tavi Rishba, the Gemara says in the very top line here, Amar Shmuel af gidule chuma bobayom gazim. If a person takes chuma and he replants in the ground, all the outgrowths of that continues to remain, have a din of chuma. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rabbi Chanina gzera mishum chuma tahora b'yad Yisrael. He explains the gzera was, Because if a Chuma Torah was left in the hands of a Yid, a Yisrael, a Zar, so he was mafresh the Chuma, but he never gave it to the Kohen. What's he going to do? He's too stingy. He said, I'm going to take the Chuma, I'm going to put it back in the ground, regrow it, it's going to lose its Chaloshem Chuma, and then the Yisrael could go ahead and eat it. That's going to circumvent the whole mitzvah of Nisinas Matnos Kahuna of the Chuma to the Kohanim. So for that reason, they were gozer, that any Gdule Chuma is Kachuma itself. So Amar Rav, Rav says, "Ida chashud ilahachi." If you're concerned with that happening, afrushinami lo lifreshe. Forget the nesina. The yid, the Yisrael, the Tsar, shouldn't even be mafresh chuma in the first place, because we have a din came in the efshar lemevad chita achas kedushmul. Really, midiraisa, there is no shear of chuma. We say that 140th, 150th, or 160th are recommendations. It happens to be a tosis and kedushin quotes of Yushalmi. I think it's 140th, 150th, 160th, or Dini Deraisa. But Pashup Shani is according to the Bavli, and Shmuel certainly says this, that you could take one kernel of wheat, and that will exempt a massive pile of chita. So forget the Nesina. He could just take one kernel, and he'll be mafresh the chuma, and he'll be yod to the mitzvah. So he's not going to mafresh a lot and then replant it. So the lo kavid, and he doesn't do it. So the fact that he doesn't use one chita to exempt his shuma, rather he does a 1/40th or 1/50th or 1/60th, hemnu mehemnu. We should trust him that just like he did a hafrasha properly, where he was machmir in the dini derban of doing a hafrasha of a larger shear, so too shouldn't we trust him? He's going to give the shuma to the kohen as well. He's not trying to avoid halachas. So that's a strange reason to be gozer. So Ella, the Gemara says, no, the gezera was gezera mishim shuma tmeya. B'yad Kohen. The concern was, if the Kohen has Chuma in his hand, and that Chuma is Tame, we're concerned, what's going to happen is, Dilma Mashile Gabe, maybe he's going to hold on to it, and he's going to go ahead and he's going to replant it, V'asili Detekala, and by holding on to it for so long, he might come to eat it. Chuma Tameya may not be eaten. Chuma Tameya may be used to burn oil, to burn fire, but you can't eat it. So what he might do is, since he knows that midiraisa, you could take chuma tmeya, plant it, and it will regrow and be completely tahor. It won't even be chuma anymore. The concern is that he might wait and hold on to it until the season to plant things. And while he's waiting, he might leave it in his cabinet somewhere and come to eat it accidentally, and that would be an issa deraisa. So in order to avoid this, we said anyone who does plant chuma, the outgrowths will still have a din of chuma, meaning it will be ineffective. This way, we're trying to encourage the kohen, don't hold on to it, use it at the soonest possible time. So then the Gemara says, okay, we're still trying to fill the 18 gzeris. So what else are we missing? The idach, another one on the list is Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abi Mishmei Deula, Af mi shehichshich lo baderech, a person who is carrying, and it's very coming close to Shabbos, and he's carrying a pouch of money, he's carrying his wallet. No sin kisel lenachri bo bayom gazer. So there are different ways a person is carrying things on Shabbos, and Shabbos begins. So there are different ways to circumvent the violations of hotzah. So one possibility is to walk less than dal amos at a time and take breaks. The issur of carrying b'shus rabim midrais is only carrying dal amos consecutively, but a person walks and stops and walks and stops and walks and stops. Pachas midalib, he has not violated an iser at all of hotzah. But the other option is he could just give it to a goy and have the goy carry it. So there were goes that day. Better to give to a goy. Rashi says, Nosen kisa lenochi, give the pouch, the wallet to a goy. V'lo yital telenu pachas mihah pachas midalib amos. Better to give to the goy to carry for you than it is to for you to carry itself, even though it's pachas midalib amos. Gemara now says, V'idach, another one, is Amar Bali Amar Avimi Sinvasa, that's the place where he came from. Pitan Vishamnam Vayenam Ubnosehem Kulan Mishmonas Ardavarhim. So when it comes to the bread of a non-Jew, Pitan, Pasakam, Vishamnam, the oil, Vayenam and the Nesach Yain, Yain Nesach, and Yichud with Bnosehem, all these were part of the Gzeros of the 18. So the Gemara says, Hanichal Rabbi Meir, this all makes sense according to Rabbi Meir, that he was gozer, that one who's forgot the kalim below the tsinur, below the pipe, below the drain, below the gutters, that water caught there is considered mayim psulim. So then we have a full 18, you do the whole count, 18 works out for Rabbi Meir. Elul Rabbi Yossi, who didn't count that shecher kalim as one of them, b'shavsei havin, according to Rabbi Yossi, there are only 17 of them. So the Gemara says, Ikaha, there's one more. The Rav Acha bar Ada, the Amar Rav Acha bar Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Gazu al Pitan Mishim Shmanam, Val Shmanam Mishim Yenam. They made a gzeir that you cannot pass Akum. They did it because lest you come to have their oil. And their goes are on the oil of a goy, lest you come to drink their wine. So the Gemara says, wait a second, the opposite, the order seems to be reversed. Al Pitan Mishim Shamnam, there goes on the bread, lest you come to the oil. Won't eating bread be a more significant, is that a more primary gzeira than the oil? You would think eating bread with a goy is more a problem than eating oil with a goy. So why say, they were gozer al pisan the bread, lest you come to have the shaman, lest you come to eat the oil. My ulma, the shaman be pas. Why is oil more significant, more of a problem than eating bread? So Gemara switches it around and really says, Ella, gozer al pitan val shaman, mishum yenam. There gozer on bread and wine and oil because of the wine. Vayenam, there goes on the stam yenam of a goy, mishum b'nosem, because he might lead to yichud with the daughters of the non-Jews. V'abnosem, there goes on the daughters, mishum davar acher, because that might lead to them convincing you to do avodah zarah. V'al davar acher, mishum davar acher. And there goes on davar acher because of some other davar acher. What's the davar acher, asks the Gemara? My davar acher, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Gozer al Tinok Nachri Shemetame Beziva. There goes there. We said before that a Tinok, as a girl, Benos Kusim, had a din of Nida the day they were born. Here's talking about the boy, that the Tinok of a Nachri is Metame Beziva the day they're born. Why? Shelo ye Tinok Yiso Ragul Etzlo B'mishkav Zachar. We don't want Chas V'Shalom the Jewish boys to be hanging out with the non-Jewish boys either on the block, lest it lead to terrible things of Mishkav Zachar. Ihachi, that's the case. So now Rabbi Meir comes out, Nami Chaser Havya. He has 19. We just added a 19th one onto the list. So the Gemara says, Ochlin Kalim Shinitmu B'mashkim B'chad HaChashavlu. We said all in the beginning a few days ago that they said food that is eaten with mashkim, and mashkim that is eaten with food, and kalim that are from mashkim, those were considered all one gzer because they're very similar, and therefore he too has 18 gzer. So everyone agrees there are 18 gzeres, but there are some slight differences in which 18 are part of the list. Okay, we've now completed the 18 gzeres, and we can move on now to new topics back to Hilchos Shabbos. So there's a decent-sized Mishnah we'll go through. We'll run through quickly. The Gemara is going to elaborate on this on tomorrow and the next couple of days, the Daf. Very Halacha L'maisa stuff. So the Mishnah begins at the bottom here of Yud Zayin and Beis as follows. Beishame Omrim, Ein Sharon Diyo, V'simanim, V'karshinim, you shouldn't soak oil, or rather ink, or dyes, or other types of, beans of some sort for animals. Don't soak them in water. As long as the process will be complete before Erev Shabbos. But if you allow it to continue to go on Shabbos, that would be usher according to Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel Matir, Beis Hillel says you're allowed to, as long as you put the process in order from Erev Shabbos, it's allowed to continue to go on Shabbos as well. And we'll see in the Gemara, the explanation is there's a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai here about whether or not there's a concept of Shvisas Kalim. What's Shvisas Kalim? Shvisas means Lashon of Shavah, Shabbos, to rest. There's a concept that there's a din deraisa, Shvisas Behema. Your animals have to rest as well. Does that extend itself to Shvisas Kalim? Do my Kalim have to rest also? So the Gemara is going to explain. Beis Shammai says even your Kalim must have rest. Beis Hillel says your Kalim don't have to be rested. As long as you started the process before Shabbos, it could continue to go on Shabbos itself. That's Beis Hillel's understanding. Next example, the Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Nosen Onim, Shel Pishan Latoch Atanor. You can't put these different types of flax in the oven. El Kadesh Yavilu Mibodiyom, as long as, unless it's been completely dried out or heated from before Shabbos. Veloas Atzemer Layora, and you can't put the wool in a big vat. El Kadesh Yiklat Ha'ain, unless it's able to get the color, the dye, from before Shabbos begins. That's all Beis Shammai again. Ubeis Hillel Matirin. Again, the same machlokas in each of these examples. Next, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Porsin Mitzudos Chayav Ofos V'Dagim Ala Kadesh Yitzodim Mibodiyom. You can only set up traps as long as the animals get caught before Shabbos begins, but to have it caught on Shabbos would be a violation of Shvisas Kalim, and yet again, Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel says this is allowed. And by the way, this Mishnah is a very important machlokas for two Halacha L'maaseh questions. One is whether or not a person could set in order a kinyan. Could you make a kinyan Erev Shabbos to say that's chal only on Shabbos itself? So seemingly that would be taller on Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. But there is the opinion out there of the Torah Lishma who thinks that even Beis Hillel would think that you cannot have a kinyan take effect on Shabbos. Because his understanding is based on a Nemuki Yosef. Nemuki Yosef in Baba Kama, a well-known Nemuki Yosef in Baba Kama, wants to know how we can light a Shabbos candle Friday night. We light Erev Shabbos fire, and it continues to light. Won't that be considered as if my mice is continuing to go all Shabbos long, based on a sugya of Eish, of Mazik Mishim Eish, Eisha Mishim Chetzio, that's like shooting an arrow. So the Nemuki Yosef says, no, when you light a fire, all the mice is done today, Erev Shabbos. It's even that which is going to continue to light. It's viewed keilu, it all took place Erev Shabbos, and that's why lighting a candle Erev Shabbos is fine. It's not a problem that it continues to burn. But the Torah Lishma points out, when you have a kinyan take effect only on Shabbos, he thinks there the mice is taking place on Shabbos, and it would be a problem. It would be very different than lighting a candle on Erev Shabbos. That's what he suggests. So according to this, another question that comes up of using timers. The Rav Zilberstein thinks, according to the Torah Lishma, just like you cannot have a kinyan take effect on Shabbos, so too you couldn't set timers, because the timers are having the mice that take place on Shabbos itself. Of course, many of the Rav Moshe has a famous shuva where he says he was very against timers, not because of this din. He doesn't think there's a violation of the sugya here, the Mishnah here in Daf Yud Zayin. He thinks it's a problem of Zilzal Shabbos. People start having this turn on and that turn on. He thought it was a big Zilzal, and Rav Moshe only allowed one to use it for electricity. It's been accepted to use it in other instances as well, such as heating and air conditioning. But this is one of the main sources to talk about, the concept of timers on Shabbos. Back inside the Mishnah, let's finish up. Mishnah now says, Beis Shammai omrim ein mochin lenachri, vein tanin imo. You can't sell to a nachri, and you can't have him schlep things for you on a donkey. Vein magrino lav, and you can't carry things on his shoulder. You can't set him up to carry things. El kadesh yagila makom karov, unless the nachri could get to a place to his house before Shabbos begins. But if he continues to work on Shabbos, he's working for you. That would be some level of hamir la'akum. Beis Hillel matir. Beis Hillel says it would be allowed again because as long as you did everything on erev Shabbos, it's completely fine. You can't place the leather to have the leather tan and to dry out. You can't give your clothing to the non-Jewish launderer. As long as he completes the laundering before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says all these cases he's allowed to im hashemesh, even mamish right before, as long as the sun hasn't set yet. So you're allowed to, as long as the sun is up, you're allowed to do these things even seconds before Shabbos. As long as you had everything go in motion before Shabbos begins, you could have it continue to go on Shabbos itself. And again, we'll see all this Mirat Hashem in tomorrow's daf. Let's just finish this Mishnah, four more lines. Amar Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, he says, Noagin hayu beis abba, the practice was in the house of his father, that's Rebbe Gamliel, shayu nosin kli lavan, l'koveis nachri, shlo shayomim kodim l'shabbos. They would give their fancy white flax clothing to the non-Jewish launderer 3 days before Shabbos. Why was that? So Rashi explains on the top here, kli lavan, shukosh l'chabbos. It's very hard to clean these things. The tzarech gimel yomim, u'machmir n'atzman ki beis shammai. They were possibly like beis shammai, and they would not allow for it to take place on Shabbos itself. So you need 3 days, a three-day window, in order for it to ensure that it was all finished before the onset of Shabbos. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, "V'shavin elu v'elu." They're both in agreement. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree. Shetanim neskars Beis Abada igule agas. So you're allowed to have the olive press. It's allowed to leave it from Erev Shabbos to continue to press. Even though more oil is being squeezed out on Shabbos, that they felt was allowed. So too, when it comes to a wine press, if you put it on Erev Shabbos, you put the beam or the press Erev Shabbos, you could have it continue to go on Shabbos itself. Even Beis Shammai would agree to this case. And Mirat Hashem, we will see this more about this tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.